Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Last year, a 12-year-old boy covered in open wounds knocked at the door of a neighbor's house asking for food and water. He had escaped a nearby home moments before by climbing out of a window and running away with duct tape still on his ankles. That's what the police said. The boy was taken to a hospital suffering from malnutrition and deep lacerations from being tied up with a rope, according to their arrest record. Now, in total, 4 children were taken into care that day, and a self-proclaimed parenting coach with a very popular YouTube channel called 8 Passengers, which, by the way, has 2 million subscribers, has just pleaded guilty to starving and abusing her children. So have you heard of Ruby Frank and her family? Hello, my name is Christina Campos. I'm founder of The Impactful Parent, and I help parents of school-aged children who want to be one step ahead of their kiddos to turn their chaos into connection with their adolescent. I'm a mom of 4 kids, a teacher that has taught every grade from preschool through high school, and today I help moms and dads like yourself to navigate the exhausting, confusing, frustrating, and rewarding world of parenting. So welcome to The Impactful Parent. And today I have my co-host with me, Rodrigo Bravo. Rodrigo is a co-parenting mediator out of the state of Texas. He is a parenting coach, and most importantly, he is a dad of 2 boys. Rodrigo brings a dad's perspective onto the Impactful Parent stage to give you more expertise and an added perspective in our parenting topics. Thank you for being here, Rodrigo. This is going to be a fun one to talk about. This lady, her name is Ruby Frank. She's all over the news. And let me give you a quick timeline, give you a perspective of what's happening for the audience. So this lady, she starts a YouTube channel with her husband, okay? And it gained popularity pretty quickly. They just did like video blogs of their household. And while she's just taking daily pictures and videos of how they're doing things around house, she's also giving some parenting advice. So now something happened after they got like 2 million subscribers, which, by the way, I'm so jealous that she has so many subscribers. But they get all this popularity. Something happens between her and her husband, and you could tell that the husband separates himself some way. It doesn't say whether they got a divorce or not, but their videos start to become less frequent on their channel. And the channel actually stopped altogether. And then she started a whole brand new channel in June of 2022. But this new channel, instead of being with her husband, it's still her and her kids, but she's also doing it with this like counselor and business partner that she has acquired between then and now. Then she started an Instagram account with this new person also called Moms of Truth. And it's another Instagram channel that does offering of parenting guidance of different sorts. And then suddenly her son escaped from their home and runs to the neighbor's house, like you heard in the intro. And Ruby is arrested and is now facing at least 4 years in prison for the things that she has admitted to doing with her children. So let's talk about some of her parent techniques that she actually taught on her YouTube channel. Okay, what was this lady teaching? Rodrigo, one of the first stories that you'll find if you Google her is that her 15-year-old son actually lost his bed for pranking his younger brother. And he slept on a beanbag for about 7 months. And the quote goes, "In our house, when we take something away, it is because they have shown that they are not responsible enough to manage it. So we don't just turn around and give it back as soon as they start acting good. The behavior has to be consistent for at least 6 months." End quote. That is what she says in one of her videos as giving parenting advice. Let's start with that. What do you think, Rodrigo?
I mean, just think of the time frame, first of all, right? 6 months. to quote unquote learn a lesson. Where's the backing for this? Is there some scientific backing behind that? You know, is there 6 months? When you look at the video and you see the kids, first impression may be, oh, okay, they're great. Looks like they're having fun. But then you see these little signs, and then one of them is that, you know, you're just kind of taken aback by the whole 6 months. I mean, he spent 7 months, and then he's sleeping on a beanbag. So imagine the work for this child, you know, going to school, coming from school, not getting enough rest, all these complications that happen because you kind of make up this kind of lesson, you know, and you know, as a quote unquote parenting, you know, consultant, as a parenting expert yourself, you know, it's difficult to kind of find the justification for a 6 month long punishment. It stunned me when I heard it. I couldn't believe it was 6 months, and then poor kids on a beanbag. You know, I don't know. What did you think? Have you ever taken anything away from your kids for 6 months?
Never for 6 months. That's a long time. I mean, and in kid world, that's like 6 years, because time goes so much slower for kids, you know? So yeah. To me, that's excessive. Now, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here. I do get that, you know, you want your child to learn the lesson. And I get that there are 2 million people out there, 2 million more people, let's even, than who follow me, you know, who agree with this kind of teaching and actually supported her, right? So there's tons of people who are going to say, I don't see anything wrong with this. She obviously had the follower count. But the 6 month, it's not what she said. It's the duration of time that she's basically forcing her kids to prove themselves. And like you said, that poor child, mainly because if you're not getting enough rest, if you are really uncomfortable and you're just not sleeping in that deep realm sleep, not only is that going to be bad for his growth, but that makes it really hard to be good. And I put good in quotation marks if you're listening to the podcast instead of the video, because it's, you know, when you're cranky, how harder is it to be a good person and make right choices and not be, you know, mean to your younger brother, which is exactly where this whole thing started to begin with. So I understand her sentiment, like a sentiment behind it. Like, okay, I get it. Let's make sure they understand the lesson. But I think this is a mistake that too many parents make all too often, is that we think that we need to add on more punishment so that they can really get it and really understand, when really a lot of times natural consequences will do that on their own. And I think we're really just falling back on what we remember our own parents doing to us. And we're just, you know, continuing the cycle instead of stepping back and going, is it really necessary to do this? And for how long? So I don't know. That's kind of my perspective on that one.
No, I agree with you. I think it's a kind of an archaic way to think about things. You know, just, hey, I'm going to take something away. I'm not saying that I don't take things away from my kids. You know, when they were growing up, you know, even now, you know, I'll take some privileges away, this and that. But you know, something as kind of fundamental as a good night's rest, that just seems a little excessive to me. It just seems like, yeah, I'm not going to affect my kids so much that, you know, he's going to wake up with a crick neck, or, you know, go to school, like you said, grumpy. I mean, hell, I get up grumpy and I have a great bed. I could, you know, I can imagine sleeping on a beanbag for 7 months and not really enjoying it. And I really, looking at the other videos as well, and I know we're going to go through some other examples, but I felt like this one may have been a little bit more for the shock value, which really kind of just increases the kind of the vileness, if you will, of the channel. Because now you're not doing things because this is how you parent. You're doing things because you have a channel that's doing parenting, and you want to bring something to the fold that's going to be clickbaity, that's going to talk, that's going to, you know, this and that. I just felt like, yeah, that was kind of that part. And then when you see that, when you kind of frame that with the other videos that you end up seeing and some of the tactics, then you start realizing, okay, things aren't as, you know, as rosy as they may appear. But I'm sure you have more examples that we're going to talk about right now.
Well, another example is she used to have her children lose privileges to eat dinner, depending on, you know, what the situation was. So it was something that she said, like, that you're going to lose dinner privileges, was a quote from a lot of her different, you know, different videos. I've never really taken away food or used food as a punishment with my kids. But again, going back to more like our parents' generation, that was very common to go to bed without dinner, right? So I don't know. Have you ever done that before?
Impactful Parents, become a part of the show. This is so cool, but I am inviting moms and dads from all walks of life and backgrounds to join me in my virtual recording studio. I'm super excited because you get to add your opinions and comments to the parenting topic. Plus, you get a shout out your business. Just submit an interest form at theimpactfulparent.com/guest to sign up.
No, not food. I mean, if my kids decide not to eat what we're making, then maybe they'll go, you know, like, hey, they'll go hungry or whatnot. I remember having that battle with my youngest son. And, you know, I told him, I go, hey, this isn't a restaurant. You know, I'm going to cook what we can cook. I think it's really important that you kind of set those boundaries, especially early on when it comes to eating, you know, preferences and this and that. Okay, my son doesn't like broccoli because XYZ. Okay, maybe I won't make broccoli. But he's going to like some vegetables. There's going to be something he has to eat. Otherwise, you know, he won't eat that night. Now, am I going to let my son, you know, go without dinner privileges like forever? You know, no, obviously not. But I really try not to use those kind of fundamental aspects of a child's life as a form of punishment, whether it is your bed, whether it is food, water, clothes, you know, just kind of those basic kind of amenities. I know it's different now because a lot of people do consider phones as one of those important amenities. I know though you and I have actually talked about that and how difficult, you know, that kind of boundary is, because a lot of kids' lives nowadays does rest on their phone. And so when you take away their phone, I mean, you're really taking away something pretty important to them. But when it comes to food, yeah, I felt that was a little odd, you know, dinner privileges and, you know, having your kid purposely go to sleep hungry. I couldn't do that. I wouldn't be able to do that. Now, if they choose to not eat because, you know, oh, I want hamburgers and French fries and you're serving, you know, I don't know, macaroni and cheese and, you know, whatever. No, that's on them. You know, that's on them. There's plenty of food in the fridge, you know. But for me to tell them, you know, that, yeah, you're not eating today, and letting their brother eat, you know, my example, right? Or in the example of the videos, letting all your siblings eat and you don't eat. I don't even know how that happens. Like, how is that? Like, is the kid just sitting on the couch watching everybody eat, or, you know, in the room and this and that? And then, like, for me, and I'll pass it off back to you. If I were to hear my kid's stomach grumble through that, oh my God, I would be so freaking guilty. I was like, I would be guilty. Yeah. I think that's kind of the perspective I would have with that.
No, I completely agree. And I'm going to add that I think that, you know, you're walking a fine line with also authority, like, and I mean, outside authority for somebody to come in and say, hey, you're abusing your child. If you start to, you know, take away things and use punishment with food or shelter, you know, all those really basic necessity stuff. So it's a warning that I'm giving right now to all parents, like, be careful how you take this kind of stuff away, whether you agree with her teachings or not. And along these same lines, you're talking about, you know, what's going on with her and the food. My last example of her actual parenting teaching is she had a six-year-old. Okay, now I tell it 6 years old. She forgot her lunch, as so many kids do, right? And her mom made her go hungry at school. So same thing, because she forgot her lunchbox. Now, that letting her go hungry at school for her lunchbox, I get that one more. That's more of a natural consequence thing that you forgot your lunchbox. Now you have to go hungry. She'll be able to eat dinner as soon as she gets home. It's not really starving the child. Could you, you know, drive to school and hand her the lunchbox? Sure, you could if you're a really nice mom. And, you know, I give my kids personally a freebie once a year, twice sometimes if they've been doing good with other things in their life, you know. And I say, all right, you know, you get a mess up once or twice a year. I get that. But after that, you know, it's never going to become a habit because I'm not going to run to school every time. So I'm not a huge rescuer, but I am okay with setting a little bit of oops parameters. But instead, this mom turned to the camera that she's filming to and says, hopefully nobody gives her food and nobody steps in and gives her a lunch because then she's not going to learn, unquote. So that tells me her perspective is like, obviously I think she just thinks that kids aren't going to learn unless you're really, really harsh. And I'm going to have to disagree with her on that one.
I saw that when I saw that clip, and then she added that she definitely doesn't want people to help her child. I thought that was evil. I was like, wait a second. Okay, she forgot, right? And like you, I've told my kids whenever they're at school, you know, hey, if you forget your lunch, it's, you know, hey, borrow some money, you know, whatever. I remember one point my son was at high school and I sent him some money through Cash App. And so he was able to, like, you know, buy some food there or whatever, you know, okay, fine. But as far as like me going out there, I told him, I said, hey, that's not going to happen. You should have been a little bit more responsible. Like you, my kid's not going to go starving. He's not going to go, it's not going to, you know, be some long-term punishment or something that's going to you know, be bad for him. For the long run, you know, when he gets home, he'll be able to eat. I'm sure when he gets out of school, there's a grocery store right across the street from his school at that time. He can just get something to eat. But when you know, if I were to say something like, and you know what, I don't want you to get any food. You need to learn your lesson. You're just stacking at that point. And I don't believe in that. I think it's cruel. I think it's evil. I think, you know, when she says that, and she says that almost proudly, you know, thinking, And thinking that she really believes she's not going to learn unless she has this the hard way. And I wouldn't even say the hard way. It's really the extreme way. But anyways, I'll finish here. I think when you're really suggesting for your child to really kind of endure something even more cruel, I think that's way over the top. I think that's just suggesting that the parent themselves have some issues. Something's going on there with that parent. And I'm telling parents right now, if you're listening on the podcast or you're watching, you know, you should never really hope that your kid goes through more pain for a mistake that they make. You know, the punishment that you give them should be enough. Hey, if they can't eat that lunch, it happens. But to willfully expect others not to be kind to your child and hope that way your child, yeah, I think that's just like, cruel. It's not even borderline cruel. It's cruel. And I didn't think it was right at all. However, praise to you, Christina, because I definitely didn't give any freebies. I every time I pick up my son and drop him off, I say, you got everything right. And that was it. There was no going back after that.
No, I get that too. I am reenacting like that. But then, Rodrigo, why does this lady have so many followers? If this is how we feel, I mean, me and you are both in agreement that a lot of her teaching practices we just don't agree with. Obviously, she was doing even more things at the end when she got caught at the extreme, right? Tying her kids up. There was duct tape. Her kid was starving and literally had to run to the neighbor's house. So it got really bad. It obviously was a progression. But why does this lady have so many followers if even when she was only saying these types of things of no food and withholding and sleep on the beanbag, people liked her?
Let's talk about that, Christina, because when we look at the way a lot of people work, society has a ton of people who feel, hey, I went through it. They should too. Mm-hmm. And we see it in a lot of different facets of society. Where folks feel, hey, I had some hardships. I persevered. you know, hey, I did it. Why can't you? You know, and yeah. So with
those
kids,
made me a better person.
Yeah. You know, hey, that trauma, you know, that's what molded me. That's what made me the person I am. And I consistently tell people, I said, you don't need trauma to grow into a better person. You really don't. You could grow into a good person very well without any trauma. But because of our experiences, because our parents raised us a certain way and we feel like, hey, I'm fine. Why don't I just do that? You know, that's the first part. We you know, a lot of parents and a lot of people just in general right now in society, they want folks to go through the same thing that they went through. The second thing is, you know, these folks, they see themselves, right? They see themselves kind of mirroring these techniques. But it's also because they didn't evolve. And that sounds really cruel. That sounds really, but honestly, you know, we're supposed to be better parents than our parents. We're supposed to evolve from those tactics, those techniques, those strategies. You know, and it takes work, though. It takes a lot of work. For example, when I went through my mental wellness and my therapy, my counseling, that takes work. It's not something that just, you know, oh, okay, I'll decide to change. No, you got to do an active work to change. You got to go to, you know, meetings, you got to go sessions, you got to do homework, you got to do all this stuff to grow as a person and hopefully be a better parent. And I think a lot of folks that, you know, they'd rather just do the easy stuff, you know, where punishments and you know, and again, physical, right, where you know, you spank your child. And I know that's still a topic of discussion, you know, but that's just old mentality, old ways of thinking. And instead of really kind of trying to change ourselves, I think the second part is, you know, confirmation bias. Oh, look, here's this YouTube person. You know, they do the same techniques that I do. You know, they treat their child this way. I, you know, and so it just grows from there. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised how many people are very traditional in that sense, that they feel, hey, if I went through it, my kids can go through it as well.
So then, where is the line between being strict, being abusive, and just having tough love for your child? You know, because some parents, especially those that came from abusive or semi-abusive or even borderline abusive homes, they really don't know the difference between those three things: strict, abusive, and tough love. You know, because it was all probably the same to them. There's a reason for that. So, like how can we convey this to other parents, who those 2 million people who think, okay, this is okay for me to do to my kid. I can withhold food and have them sleep on a beanbag. You know, it goes to corporal punishment and spanking and the belt, which we've talked in past episodes, both of us have experienced growing up from our own parents. So, you know, but we don't do that to our kids today. So where there's just a huge disconnect, and it boggles my mind.
Yeah, no, that's that. And again, that's just the way of the internet and the way folks in general go. Folks aren't going to go to places that challenge what they think. The folks are going to go to places that confirm what they think, right? Confirmation bias. So when you go out there and you hear somebody like you and I, we're out here talking about, oh, talk to your child, you know, and have conversations with them. Folks may say, like, what? I'm not here to be my kid's friend. I'm not here to do this and that, da, da, da. No, no. What I say goes and blah, blah, blah. And okay, fine and dandy. They're not going to listen to folks like ourselves. They're going to find people that confirm what they believe. The tough thing is that you see what these consequences are. You know, with the kids now, you're actually traumatizing them even more with the spanking, with more with the removal of a bed, with food, you know, denial, shaming, you know, all these other things that, you know, we used to think were okay. You know, we should really be looking at that and saying, okay, that's traumatic. You know, one of the things that I didn't see this in the video, but that kind of falls in line with what we're talking about right now, was parents, you know, calling their kids fat. Like, ah, está gordito, you know, especially in Latino culture, right?
Oh, man, so popular.
Super yes. Popular, you know? And we don't realize, like, dang, that's super traumatic. You know, you're a kid. you're young and your body's going through all these changes. You know, you can't control what's going on sometimes. And then you have somebody telling you, hey, you look chubby, you know? I mean, that's just not healthy for a child's mindset. But a lot of us went through it. So are we going to repeat those same mistakes? Are we going to do that to our kid as well? And just say like, hey, look, I came out fine. Why can't, you know, I'm just kidding. You know, I'm just joking. Knowing how that made us feel. You know, I'll end with this. A lot of folks also say, well, you know, I went through it. It made me stronger. You know, I get that. I don't agree with that. Because at the end of the day, you could have been stronger without it. You don't need trauma to be a stronger person. You know, you actually need, you know, healing. You actually need, a good tactics, good strategies to really focus on what's making you a better person so that you can also be a better parent. So I really hope that when folks see kind of the effects of what's going on with this particular case, how everything was just kind of smoke and mirrors, that folks realize, you know what, there's a lot going on here that doesn't really jive. Maybe I need to go elsewhere to learn some parenting techniques or to help me when I'm raising my kids. Because at the end of the day, the only way we grow is by really being uncomfortable with ourselves. Is there something that I'm possibly doing wrong that I need to fix? And the only way you do that is by confronting it, you know, being uncomfortable with yourself. And hopefully people, when they see that, I hope they do feel uncomfortable. I hope they do feel like, you know what, that's not cool. You know, why was I okay with that? I really hope that folks see that and realize, you know what, this isn't really the way to go.
And I agree that struggle has you grow. I mean, we all agree that. You agree with that too. It's just that I think that we dismiss that our kids are already going through their own struggles. Like, because they're not our struggles and what it looked like when we were growing up, we just assume that their struggles don't count. They're not meaningful. So we got to, I don't know. I think maybe these parents, when they do corporal punishment or any other, these kind of really more severe punishments of all sorts, you know, they're just thinking, I really got to teach them. They really got to know. It's coming from a place of, I'm trying to parent, but I think they forget that, yeah, just because your child's struggles don't look like yours, they're still struggling in their own ways. Just the internet themselves and dealing with that is its own struggle that really we can't identify with because we never had phones in our back pockets by the time we were 17 years old. I mean, we just didn't. So I think that's another issue, a part of this whole situation, which makes me think if every behavior has a reason and a motive. And we teach this all the time with kids, you know, what are they doing? Why are they doing that? There's a reason, there's a motive behind every behavior. It's true with this woman too, with this parenting coach. So what do you think her motives really were? I heard you say popularity, just maybe like shock factor, clickbait type of stuff. My guess is probably control. She just feels like she had to have control over everything in her household. But what are your other thoughts? And what were her motives here? Impactful parent, I want to hear from you. Leave me a voice message at speakpipe.com/theimpactfulparent and become a part of the show. Tell me your first name, your favorite episode, and why you love that episode so much. I want to hear your feedback, and it's easy with SpeakPipe. Go to speakpipe.com/theimpactfulparent, and I can't wait to hear from you.
Yeah, I looking at some of the videos, you know, when we were discussing this topic, I went through some other videos. I don't think she did not believe in what she was saying. I think she firmly believed what she was doing was right. I think that she believed in it. She felt it was getting the results that she wanted. I don't think there's any question about that. What I do feel, you know, may have changed was really the popularity and also her going through that and then getting the influence. Now, I'm going a little bit more into the quote-unquote chisme side right now. you know, there's like a big old thing about like the new person that came into their lives. You mentioned it earlier that the husband eventually had to, you know, left. And now it comes out that, you know, she was kind of maybe being influenced, and it's a whole mess, right? But at the end, you know, the people are responsible for their actions. And it sounds like for her, from the case and from what everybody was talking about, that she really started kind of moving towards that, towards like, okay, how do I really monetize the channel? It was already monetized. I mean, like you said, she had 2 million followers. Hell, we would love like 2,000 followers. You know what I mean? That would be great, yeah, for us.
We love it. You spread the word.
You know, but she felt like, hey, I need to monetize this even further. And then that's when she linked up with this other person who, again, apparently, you know, by all accounts, it looks like she changed her entire life, her direction, her housing situation even. So anyways, I feel like that had a big part of it as far as, you know, the decisions that she made and so forth. But I don't want to discount the fact that she truly believed in what she was doing. And there's tons of people out there that also believe in what she was doing, you know. And I'm not even gonna doubt that there's people that saw the entire thing play out and then just say, oh, you know what, that was her, you know, that she messed up. I'm not gonna mess up though, you know, and I'm gonna continue doing what I'm doing with these tactics and strategies and so forth. And so I think it's really important for folks who are definitely not maybe fully invested to still know what's going on, because at the end of the day, you know, your kids are going to be affected by their kids, and you need to make sure that, you know, if your kids see something, and I wanted to relate this back to the original kind of reason that I had shared this with you, you know, if kids are saying something, you know, you got to report it. You know, and when that kid went over there, he basically saved his and his siblings' lives, because they were being mistreated, abused, possibly even being used as child labor, you know, cleaning the houses and doing this and that. It was crazy, you know. So my original intent was, remember we spoke on the video regarding, like, you know, inserting yourself into a situation, when's the correct time and so forth. You may see a kid like that. You know, it's okay to ask. It's okay to see that. But if a kid comes up to you and tells you something, I am so glad that those neighbors paid attention and actually followed through and said, hey, look, there's a kid out here, you know, this and that. Because that unraveled everything, you know, and that kid was such a brave kid to go out there and really, you know, say like, hey, you know, something's wrong, because that kid's putting himself in danger, you know, and I really felt it, really tugged at my heart. Because just to imagine the bravery of that kid to go against his mom and really the house and just say like, yeah, this is enough. I'm going to go to a neighbor and go there. So anyways, last point I'll make. Again, anytime you see a situation you're not comfortable with, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, just kind of questioning it. Like, hey, what's going on? Is there some help there? Blah, 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 blah. And going from there. Because as we see right now, you never know what that could lead up to.
2 million subscribers. I'm gonna say it again because it just blows. But
how long was she doing this for? I forgot.
I don't know the exact timeline either, but it was a few years. And yeah, at least with her husband, when she was doing the her channel 8 Passengers. But with that many subscribers, they saw her techniques, they saw about the whole beanbag thing and stuff. 2 million people. Nobody. I mean, she wasn't reported that I'm aware of. Everybody just viewed it and took her advice. And it's like, it goes back to, what is the responsibility of viewers when we suspect a child might be in danger based on online content too? I mean, thank goodness for the neighbor, but the neighbor got to see that kid in real life, real person. And there are still so many parents right now. It's very popular actually to vlog your home and to have your children on camera, which again, I don't necessarily agree with. I try to minimize putting my kids out there for safety reasons, but we're not saying anything. 2 million people and nobody said anything about her practices. it blows my mind, Rodrigo. And you're right. Somebody should have said something, or maybe they did, and then nobody heard those cries. And that happens all the time too. It's so frustrating.
Yeah. It is frustrating. But the only thing that we can do, you know, is really just spread the word and make sure that folks understand there's other ways, you know, to parent, that this is not the right way. But, you know, and a little side note, you know, when all this went down, and not that I'm wishing, you know, harm or anything like that, but I'm glad this came out, though. I do want to say, like, it needs to happen in a very visible sense. You know, that it wasn't just, you know, kind of undercover and then they just, you know, deleted the channel. I'm glad everything got exposed. I'm glad everything got said, because it just shows how intricate this kind of stuff is. And also, again, it just shows like how just pretty much anybody can grab a mic. I say that with some self-awareness, right? You know, Christina and I are here to help parents with their parenting journeys, you know, but definitely vet who you're looking at. Vet who you're talking to, find out, you know, how long they've been doing it. You know, do they have references? You know what it is, because, you know, you have 2 million followers, but what good are 2 million followers as far as like your credentials, the work that you've put in to build your business? We saw what happened here. The lady basically tore down her family, and you have people following her and probably maybe following her blindly. You know, take a good look at, you know, who you're following, both online and offline, and make sure you just, you know, review those credentials and see what they're talking about and see if it makes sense. You know, I mean, you know, I think you know what I'm talking about, Christina. I mean, it's just tough, you know, because you see these influencers, you see these social media accounts, and you really don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And so you got to take it with a grain of salt. You got to make sure that you do your due diligence. And when we see things that, you know, are there, not just brush them off, you know, make sure that we do pay attention to those details.
What are some red flags in your mind that people can look out for when they are looking for influencers to help them in any realm, really? Obviously, parenting is what we're talking about right now. But let's list out some of those things that we should be looking out for. Because, yeah, I mean, anybody could grab a mic and start a podcast, a YouTube channel. Even coaches, you know, can be self-proclaimed and things like that. So, and I'm not saying any of those are bad. That's reality. Bam. That's the truth. So because of those very low standards and we can self-proclaim and just grab a mic, what can people look for that says, this is a good person for me, and not get fall into that trap of getting influenced by somebody who obviously has either bad intentions or doesn't really know what they're talking about or any of that?
No, that's a great question. I would suggest really kind of looking at credentials first. You know, what type of podcast are you looking at? If you're looking at a parenting podcast, what are the credentials? You know, what kind of work do they do? You know, what have they been doing? You know, what's their referrals like? You know, look, we're talking about social media, right? So maybe you're not going to do all that work or invest all that, right? But when you start liking folks and you start, you know, clicking like and subscribing and so forth, all the algorithm does is now push that to your friends as well. And so you got to make sure that, hey, if I'm going to click to something, if I'm going to, you know, say that I like something, I got to make sure that it's good, you know, that it's legit. And so one of the things I would recommend is that, you know, the second thing that I would say is, hey, you know, what does it look like they're intending to do? There's some channels out there that are very explicit about paid content, ads, things like that, sponsorships and so forth. I actually appreciate that. You know, be upfront about it. But if you ever feel like maybe you're getting sold something and they don't make it explicit, that's kind of a red flag for me, because I know that, you know, you're really supposed to be very, very intentional and blatant about it, to be honest, about it being a commercial or a paid sponsorship or something like that. If they, you know, say something like, hey, I like this and blah, 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 and they don't reveal they actually got paid to do that, that's a big red flag. You know, when you see these channels, especially in the parenting realm, you'll see a lot of channels that are pushing products that have ads and this and that, are they making it clear that it's an ad? You know, because if they're not, they may just be there to monetize that channel. And if they're just there to make money, they may not really be there to help you. Now, if they're to help you and they're going to make a little, you know, change on the side, that's different. But what is their original intent? What are they really trying to do? Are they trying to make money or are they trying to help you? I think that's a big red flag that those two big red flags are what I would kind of focus on myself. I don't know if you have any other kind of suggestions you would recommend, Christina.
I will just mention those 2 million followers one more time because I'm so jealous of them. But that for last time, 2 million people, in my opinion, got it wrong. And I think that it's important not to necessarily look at follower count. And I think we do that a lot. I think even I've fallen for that. Oh, this person has so many tons of followers. They must be good, or they must know what they're talking about. That's not necessarily the case at all. And this lady actually is proof of that in my eyes, that you can't go off follower count all the time.
Yeah. And also just as a tip, I would really challenge folks to really go outside their boundaries and listen to podcasts or parenting channels or so forth that maybe don't necessarily reflect what they believe in. You know, just to open your mind up. You know, I'm not saying you have to go out there and just completely change everything or this and that, but it's always helpful to, you know, kind of get a differing opinion on what's going on, what you're doing and so forth. You may not like it after all. That's fine. But at least you're opening yourself up to different ideas, different tactics and strategies and so forth, especially if you're looking for help when it comes to your parenting.
But until next time, you got this. I'm just here to help. Don't forget that the podcast is just a small part of what the Impactful Parent offers. Start your journey to becoming a more impactful parent by downloading the Impactful Parent app, available on your phone's app store or by going to theimpactfulparent.com. See you on the inside. And if you would like to reach out for Rodrigo Bravo and his co-parenting mediation and coaching services, you can email him at rodrigobravojr@gmail.com. But until next time, you got this. I'm just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. Go to the Impactful Parent website and download the free Impactful Parent app so you don't miss a parenting tip that could help you and your family. Thanks for listening today. So go to theimpactfulparent.com. And see you next episode.